Welcome to Sports Mad Rez's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. Over the past 2 weeks, we had 6 posts on sportsmedrez.org. That's res.org. In the most recent post, we described the study where the authors found that 8 weeks of corrective exercises enhanced movement efficiency, postural control, joint position sense, and self-reported function in a non-fatigued state. However, the protocol did little to mitigate the effects of fatigue on these measures. In the second study, we summarized a study where the authors reported that ankle joint mobilizations improved dynamic balance and weight-bearing dorsiflexion range of motion in patients with chronic ankle sprains. Next, we described a study where the authors noted that a career-ending injury makes a professional athlete more likely to have depression symptoms during retirement. Experiencing chronic pain and maintaining a high sense of athletic identity also increased the risk of depression in these retired athletes. Last Friday, we also introduced the European Association of Preventive Cardiology and European Association of Cardiovascular Imaging joint position statement on recommendations for the indication and interpretation of cardiovascular imaging in the evaluation of the athlete's heart. We also summarized the study where the authors reported that both athletes and non-athletes report accepting rape myths, and predictors of these rape myths are different for each group. Finally, we described a study where the authors observed that most athletes are not meeting accepted clinical cutoffs for strength and functional testing prior to returning to sport after ACL reconstruction. If we take a closer look at that last post, we find that the authors investigated the proportion of athletes who met predefined criteria for strength, hop testing, and patient-reported outcomes, and whether meeting the criteria made an athlete more likely to maintain their pre-injury level of physical activity or sport participation. The criteria were an International Knee Documentation Committee subjective form score of greater than 90, quadriceps and hamstring strength limb symmetry indices greater than 90%, or single leg hop test symmetry greater than 90%, or a combination of these criteria. The researchers assessed the above criteria in 115 young athletes within 4 weeks of return to sport clearance, and then reassessed their activity levels 1 year later. Just over half of the athletes met all hop testing criteria, and less than half met the criteria for the patient-reported outcomes. Furthermore, just under 30% met the criteria for their strength assessments, and only 14% met all of those criteria. About 66%, two-thirds of athletes maintained their physical activity 1 year later, and this was more common among those that met both the strength criteria compared with those that did not meet both. Interestingly, no differences were found for physical activity level for those who met all criteria, hop test, or in other individual criterion. The authors demonstrate here that an athlete is more likely to maintain physical activity levels 1 year after returning to play when they met return to sport criteria based on strength, and that an alarming number of athletes are not achieving this criteria prior to returning to sport. This finding shows that we should emphasize strength indices. The other symmetry measures and patient-reported outcome criteria were less effective at differentiating which athletes would continue at the same activity level 1 year after returning to play. This could be because other factors can influence a person's physical activity, you know, such as graduating from school or other life commitments. Or these measures at the time of return to play are not as informative as changes in them over the course of the next year. Alternatively, these measurements may just fail to accurately reflect a patient's state. It would have been informative to see how these measures changed over time and if they predicted who would experience increases in joint symptoms or new injuries. Patient-reported outcomes have been reported in prior posts to be good at differentiating readiness for functional testing. Clinicians need to do a better job using standardized strength cutoffs because they seem to be linked to higher likelihood of success in physical activity levels, in addition to assessing their psychological readiness. The fact that less than 1 in 3 athletes met the strength criteria is alarming and shows a need for us to slow down and think about what is beneficial to the athlete in the relative short term, as well as even in the long term, years after the athlete has left competitive sports. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. This week's most popular post was a New York Times article about the risk of osteoarthritis after an injury. And if you're an athletic trainer who's looking for evidence-based practice CEUs, then please check out our 6 online evidence-based practice courses that are available through the Human Kinetics website. We'll have links to these courses, the posts, and the article I mentioned on our podcast website and in our show notes. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back in 2 weeks after Thanksgiving with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.